Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, Sid.
Thank you. That was weird.
Can you hear?
Okay, but yes, I put the wrong ears.
Wait, Sid. Wait. Call back.
I hung up.
Can you call back? I want to test to make sure that I could hear you. I need you to talk on the phone.
Hello?
Hello. Oh, let me put you on. Okay, now.
Hello?
Okay, good. All right.
Just need one more minute, like literally 60 seconds.
Okay.
The wrong fucking year. I put 2011. What's that?
Well, did we have Chuck from episode one, or how soon into the
show?
We
had Chuck from the BCR show.
Oh, all right. Fair enough.
That honor his whole legacy.
I
put 2001.
I found a rarity.
I meant to put...
Ooh.
What'd you say?
I found a rarity, a big bag of barbecue dipsy doodles.
Delicious. Oh. And you didn't get a second one for me?
I did get a second one, but for me.
Okay. Just have to. Whoops. Lazy. There it is. Yeah, it's supposed to be 01, not 11. There it is. Done.
All right, right?
Yeah.
Recording in progress.
Go.
This is your announcer, Shannon Saint Mainframe, welcoming you to our IP livecast. Every day, I have to hear Robert complain that it is getting dark out way too early. Tell me you're no longer metal without telling me you're no longer metal. Our IP livecast starts now.
Welcome, Shannon, and welcome to a new era, RIP Alivecast.
Our first new hire in the new era.
Yeah.
That's
there
right.
It had to be a diversity hire. God damn it.
Well, we wanted a little more female presence on the show now that Noah has left the main hosting duties.
It's true. We had to balance our chi a little bit.
Mm.
So we had to let Chuck go.
He was on his way out the door anyway. I feel like he had a long, fulfilling career, and this was a mutual breakup. No hostility.
But we're very excited to have Shannon Saint Mainframe here on the show, and we look forward to getting to know her more.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure she'll have some tales and some backstory that she'll share with us. Seems like a lovely
one. I'm very excited to be here.
Oh, she just chimes right in when she wants to.
Nice.
No. I don't think she's earned that right yet. She should know her place.
We're happy to have her, though.
Sure. Seen and not heard. Or, I
Sydney,
guess we
don't make me hack your phone.
Uh-oh.
God damn it.
Calling you by your full name.
Never mind.
So I do want to reiterate, the show's name is now RIP Alivecast. Of course, we used to be the Metal Injection Livecast. I just want to say that, you know, we're changing the name in an effort to evolve the show. Most of the show will be the same show you've known and loved, but we want to kind of grow it and evolve it past just heavy metal topics into more pop culture stuff and more fun stuff. And we do have a domain. RIPAlivecast.com. And I do want to mention for fans of the Metal Injection Livecast name, you still have 1 week to get your Metal Injection Livecast merch before we discontinue that at metalinjection.net/livecastmerch. And you can get all those shirts. They're all on sale. $13 for the shirts if you want to get them before. And we're going to be putting up RIPL Livecast merch very soon.
They may be collector's items because they'll be representing a show that is has changed its name.
Are we going to discontinue the jiu-jitsu shirt?
I don't know. I haven't thought about it. It's a good question. I don't know. I mean, she's still a part of the show, you know, history-wise.
I guess she is still Jewish, but she doesn't do jiu-jitsu as much anymore, so...
Well, what? How does she fend off coyotes in Arizona?
She got John Schaefer's bear spray. He left it to her in his will. So.
Oh, well, they're at the same. Are you implying they're at the same meeting or something?
No, they're pen pals. No. Just some jailhouse correspondence.
Fair enough. Noah's a lady. There's no conjugal visits or anything like that.
No, she's engaged to another.
Right. She's betrothed.
Yes. That's exactly right.
Welcome to the RIP Livecast, everybody.
You.
See, not much has changed. We do have a phone number. I want to give it out. 3WIDENUT, 213-943-3688. And we actually have a call right now.
Ooh.
Let's see who we got. We have 734 on the line.
Hello, is this the Zach Beats hotline?
Oh, hold on 1 second, 734. I have to unmute.
Hello. You're on the air.
That was me, not
Zach. Hello, is this the Zach Beats hotline?
Yes.
Yeah, I was told that the first caller gets Eve 6 tickets. Is that true?
Rob, do we still have Eve 6 tickets?
No.
Or are they gone? Those things tend to fly out like hotcakes.
Yeah, they're gone. They've all been claimed.
I will say there. I'm watching the Canadian season of RuPaul's Drag Race, and there's a drag queen named Eve 6000, and it is quite hilarious.
Wait, now I got to unpack this. Hold on. There's a Canadian drag queen. So, if you allow me to inquire, what's Canadian about it? Is RuPaul on it, or is it like RuPaul's show done with Canadian people?
Correct.
So RuPaul's not in it.
No. It's called Canada's Dragon, but it's they farm out, like, there's a Canadian one, there's a British one, there is a Spanish one, there's a Filipino
Australian.
One, Australia, or down under, it's Australia and New Zealand.
I just thought maybe the drag queens have to, like, incorporate maple syrup and a Zamboni or something.
Well, they
like
do
that.
Canada
they absolutely
enough,
do.
And it's all Canadian queens.
So...
To be clear, hold on. There are some of these spin-offs that RuPaul is involved with.
Yes, the UK one.
Like the UK version and the Down Under one.
Industry.
It's because I think it comes down to how much the country is willing producers, and if they're willing to pay RuPaul to fly over, whatever
her desired
rate is.
RuPaul wants to go there. Like, RuPaul's that interested in spending a month in Canada.
Yeah.
Ain't Britain she'll go to.
RuPaul's not going to do the Uruguay drag race?
No, definitely not.
Lovely country. I have to ask this too also. What does Canada really need a discrete, like, separate drag? I mean, it's like, you know, you could have a North American drag race, couldn't you? Does it really have to be a Canadian?
The American drag race does once in a while have contestants from other countries. So
yeah,
it's just
a
cash grab. It's all just a cash grab. That's all.
Seems
but
like
it's entertaining. I'd like the beats of the show, regardless of which iteration.
I just feel like Canadian Drag Race could, without a blink, be subsumed into American Drag Race. You know,
for sure.
Same accent. You know, basically.
Yeah. The thing that bothers me is that this is the second season now, and they still haven't had any of the kids in the hall as a guest judge.
Wow,
like, come on, they were in drag for half of that fucking series. Come on, make it happen.
They should be the fucking contestants is what they should be.
Oh, my God. They're a little too old.
Well, says ageist.
Me, this guy. This guy.
Okay.
I like them young, tight queens.
I tell you what.
We have a caller.
Hello, caller. The
caller is gone.
Oh, God damn.
Why? What happened? Did we lose him, or he just hung up because we started talking about Canadian Drag Race?
Please call back.
I would
back,
have to
213 wide net is the number. That's 213-943-3688. It looks like the caller hung up.
I saw like stills from that New Kids in the Hall season, and Dave Foley still looks like a hot woman, I would say, but just older.
He was always the hottest of them in drag. Mm. I'm excited for that.
I think who would you say is the second hottest drag Kids in the Hall?
McKinney, I think.
Chicken Lady or like
not as Chicken
Secretary.
Lady as like yeah as Tanya, perhaps.
Go but with. Yeah. Yeah, Scott Thompson always played like matronly women.
Yeah, like
moms
or
yeah.
Queen Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin McDonald like just looked like Kevin McDonald. There's no rescuing that.
But Kevin McDonald, I would say, of the other four besides Dave Foley, looked the most like a real woman.
I can
not
see
an
that.
Attractive woman, but the
yeah.
most he passed the most, I would say.
I could see that. And then Bruce was just square-faced, little puggy, looking
yeah.
dowdy little lady.
Dave Foley was hot, though.
Yeah, yes. I think that was like the consensus among all of them as well, that Dave made the best-looking lady.
Mm-hmm.
They all considered doing Dave. Is that what you're saying?
Sure.
Why you got to bring? You were talking aesthetics, Rob. Why you got to bring sex into it?
That's fair. I looked up.
Yeah, there
there's Kevin McDonald. Zoom in on Kevin. He
lower right hand, lower left hand corner.
Lower left. That's clear. I would not question that was a woman for a second.
Kevin. Yeah, definitely. Kevin McDonald absolutely looks like a mom. I think all of them are pretty passive.
Yeah,
all of the past.
Bruce is the least, I would say.
That's also not the best picture.
That's right. I'm not only going by that. I'm going by my encyclopedic knowledge of the show.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, there's that picture.
Oh,
of,
my goodness.
There's the picture of Mark as the office employee who liked to light things on fire, I think. Oh, no. This is a different character. But, yeah, that's very sultry as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's when they were really young.
Yeah.
Can you, Rob, while we're on this topic, can you find the stills from the new season where Dave plays a woman, if possible?
I think this is it.
Oh, that wasn't the – well, he's been playing a man there, though.
Yeah. And this is from a few years ago still.
Oh, I see. It's on Netflix, right?
It's going to be on Amazon.
Oh, Amazon.
Amazon. Amazing. That's not a big deal if we have to go searching all around.
But. All right. Can't seem to find it at the moment.
I'm still getting the hang of Google.com.
Oh, F off!
I love that shirt, and they didn't – it was out of stock last time I went to buy it. The K-I-T-H, Kids in the Hall, KISS
It's
KISS
just weird because there's also, like, an actual fashion brand called KISS.
Oh, yeah?
So it's very confusing now, like, which are you buying? If it's normal priced, it's probably Kids in the Hall merch. If it's $500 for a T-shirt, it's probably the other brand.
Also, it looks like a bootleg that just is on TeePublic, which is the same service that we use for our shirts.
We should just start selling Kids in the Hall merch.
Yeah, we could sell that Kith design.
Gene Simmons already has the rights to it. Sorry.
He had a one-night stand with Dave Foley in drag.
I'd like to announce that we've acquired the rights to Kith. All Kiff merchandise belongs to me, Gene Simmons.
Because he just thinks it's somebody saying kiss with a lisp. Still, that belongs to me.
Yes, I saw it at first and I said, this must be related to Mike Tyson in some way.
Gene Simmons tried to hit on me at the Apple Store one time.
Oh, wow.
Could have got it in, but she only had floppy drives then.
Wow.
Oh. Dick and a floppy drive. I've tried. Believe me.
So, yeah, there you go. All right. Good way to kick off RIP Live Cast, I say. And I also want to mention all of our socials have changed. We're now at RIP Live Cast, basically on all social media.
But if you already followed us, you still follow us.
Correct. You don't have to refollow us. We just changed our alias.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, well, it's exciting. Technology is grand. And technology also offers us the opportunity to look at interviews with the dude from Skillet.
Oh, my God. All right.
Which, by the way, in the description of the show, I can see Skillet for Shinedown, was it?
Yeah.
Or no? That...
Yeah, no, it was Shinedown.
Oh, man. Which, my apologies to Shinedown, but that just...
Are they not like Christian hard rock?
I'm not sure that they're Christian.
Well, what's Shining Down? It's obviously the love of God.
Isn't Shining Down like a term, an idiom of some kind? Like you just got shined down. I thought it was like when you insult somebody. Some old-timey. Maybe I'm wrong.
They're from Florida, so I assume they're Christian.
Hmm. You know, if you were going to confuse Skillet with anybody, I thought it would be Skrillex.
Hmm. Okay, you're right. They are a Christian band.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Skillet, which is an even less popular Shinedown. This guy's all about God. They're basically a modern day Striper, and not even modern day. They've been around for fucking 20 years themselves. You know, they're pretty old too.
Less ancient Striper.
There we go. That's.
Better name than Skillet.
100%. And so apparently he gave a take where he says that Skillet are the revolutionaries while Rage Against the Machine is government rock.
What's his reasoning?
He says, in general, I think I'm a fairly gracious person, or I try to be, where it's like, I really don't care, Luke is the host, if you get the vaccine or not. And I don't care if you care if I get it. It doesn't matter to me. I think you can tell where he stands on the vaccine debate. There are certain things that you can make a choice, but there's been this collective mind. I mean, people going crazy. I fully expect half the country to be eating grass. I mean, have you gone to salad bars? Half the country is eating grass. That's what's really weird to me, is I've been speaking about my faith in Christ for a long, long time in the mainstream world. Now, let's be honest. Not everybody in the mainstream world is nuts about that. They don't necessarily love hearing about Jesus, but they always put up with me. Some have supported me even. It's so funny to me that like people say that it's not mainstream to talk about Jesus when
Wait,
it's like...
Wait, is this still the quote, or is this you talking now, Rob?
Oh, this is me. This is me talking right now. It's funny that when people say, you know, oh, it's so not mainstream, it's like, yes, it is. That's the most mainstream you could be, is to talk about, like, there's nothing more mainstream than Jesus.
It's not mainstream to believe in the same thing 80% of Americans believe in.
Yeah. We all love Jesus on this show.
Speak for yourself.
That's one of the changes now that we're RIP Alive Cast.
Fuck. I didn't get that email. Shit. Sorry. I'll check my spam.
They don't necessarily love hearing about Jesus, but they always put up with me. Some have supported me even, but I'll tell you what. The most kickback I have ever received, ever, for my faith, has been my stance on vaccine mandates and the mask mandates.
Not what kickback means.
It is.
Maybe people are paying him to be against the vaccine, so he is getting kicked back.
Exactly.
He accidentally told on himself.
It's as if I just, like, the unforgivable sin, he says. I said to my wife,
my wife!
I said, the amazing thing that it shows me is that it wasn't the gospel quote. It wasn't the gospel of Christ that made them really, really angry. Meaning, Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father unless they come through him. Whoa.
He sounds like a Catskill comic. I says to my wife, I says, honey, your cooking is so bad.
A lot of people didn't love that message, but they can deal with it. But they will not deal with you speaking out against the state. They will not deal with it. And what you're really witnessing is an actual, you've spoken against their God. You did not bow down to Nebuchadnezzar.
Nebuchadnezzar. I give you a pass.
All right, there we go. Nebuchadnezzar's idol of gold. And it's one thing you're not allowed to do. It's just been really amazing to me. So a lot of bands, they just don't know what to do. And when I say they, I mean we're in there too. What? We just don't know what to do because you're in an entertainment industry that's largely driven by social media at large. And you're not allowed to, and you're not allowed to speak against. I mean, you've got Rage Against the Machine telling people that if they don't get the vaccine, Rage Against the Machine has become the machine. It's crazy. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm the revolutionary here. I'm the revolutionary, and Rage Against the Machine is just government rock now. My older brother made up the term government rock, which I find pretty awesome. I think it's pretty great. It's a great way to scoff at someone.
So can we just, to be in the interest of fairness, what do we know that Rage Against the Machine actually said instead of like listening to what this guy reported?
Well, yeah, Rage Against didn't even complete that thought.
Yeah,
he like
so
cuts himself off mid-sentence when he's talking about Rage. So
Rage Against the Machine did not outwardly, like explicitly say, if you don't have the vaccine, you cannot come to our show. It's just that the Rage Against the Machine reunion tour, which happens next summer, is in Live Nation venues, and all Live Nation venues have a vaccine mandate now.
Yeah, so that's not their fault. That's just whether you are pro-vaccine or anti-vaccine, they have nothing to do with it. They just
well, he would argue. He would argue if you're a revolutionary like him, you wouldn't book the Live Nation venues because this mandate, it's stifling. Also, I want to also pull back like him saying like, oh, nobody said anything when I was talking about Jesus, but if I talk about the vaccine, blah, blah, it's like, well, you know, you talking about Jesus isn't necessarily contagious. You not getting the vaccine.
They'd like to think it is. But only the child rape is contagious when you talk about Jesus.
Oh, okay.
It's a smaller at-risk group.
Yes. We have to ensure that religion is never criticized at all times. So child rape, got to look the other way. Vaccine mandates, though. Very important to get on that.
Rob, so are you going to stop listening to Skillet now because of this?
I've preemptively stopped listening to Skillet. I, in fact, never started listening to Skillet.
Wow, you knew in advance, Rob. We should all admire your foresight.
We should play a game where we like play song snippets and we have to identify, is this Skillet? Is it Volbeat? Is it like one of the 800 other bands of that genre, like try to just decipher who is who, because
I don't think I've ever heard a single Volbeat or Skillet song. So
who else? Who are the other bands of that ilk, Rob? There's a few others that I'm blanking on the names that have like dumb sounding names too.
Let's see.
Pingus Pingus.
3 Days Grace.
No,
Starset.
They're not as heavy as those bands.
Breaking Benjamin.
We're talking about heavy Christian rock bands?
Flyleaf. Switchfoot.
No, this is not who I'm thinking of.
Look up heavy Christian rock.
Yeah.
Or Christian metal. Is like, Creed in that?
No. Those are like radio rock. I'm talking about like more hard rock bands. There's like a whole subgenre of just these like, they're all like Southern. Rob works in metal. I thought he would know more offhand, just like he'd be able to reel off some band names. Since
Three Doors Down? 12
Three Doors
Stone.
Down? What?
Famous.
Like, I give up. Rob,
Crossfade.
I don't know what you like. Name
Finger
18 11. Chill Wave bands. I bet you could do that in the snap of a fucking finger. Asking you
I don't follow these fucking active
it's
rock
It's bread
bands.
And butter, goddammit.
No. Not for a while.
All right.
I like the part where the guy goes like, well, as someone in the industry, are you really in the industry? And you're still it. I mean, marginally. At
I mean, Rob didn't know he was until earlier today when he had to write that post. He was like, wait, this is him?
Yeah, he thought it was Shinedown, who's also like marginally in the industry.
Oh, Robert.
They're trying to get on Cousin Brucey, CBS FM, Sirius, whatever the fuck he is. They don't have any airplay anywhere. PBS FM.
Well,
I'm going to change my playlist pick to a Skillet song.
No, don't do it.
Next
no.
Week. Next week. We'll all pick Skillet songs.
Just
Skillet
to fight
songs.
This fucker.
Oh, I think Shannon has them.
For the record, I liked Skillet before it was cool.
Oh. Shannon was
she
a Skillet
Russian
fan before it was cool. Well, I want to mention that Black Label Society, their new album, Doom Crew Inc., it's out now. The 12 tracks are odes to celebration and mourning. The soundtracks to jubilant evenings and bewildered days recorded in Zach's home studio, The Black Vatican. The stomping, heavy, bluesy, recklessly unhinged hard rock metal quartet are part invading horde and part traveling carnival, summoning caffeine-fueled cacophony on records and the stage. On this album, Zach trades solos and twin guitar parts with Dario Lorena, backed by the rumble of longtime bassist John J.D. DeServio and powerhouse drummer Jeff Fab. Pick up Doom Crew Inc. or stream it wherever you listen to music.
They work at the Black Vatican?
The Black Vatican is the name of Zach Wilde's home studio.
Do you think, like, religious groups on tour, like, get confused and show up thinking it's, like, the Vatican for black folks, and then Zach Wilde comes out, and they're like, well, what are you doing here?
I'm not sure you could just Google Black Vatican and get Zach Wilde's home address. I don't think that's how it works. But maybe.
I mean, if you're driving by and there's just a big sign that says, welcome to the Black Vatican, I'd pull over my bus.
I don't think there's such a sign as there.
Fair enough.
Disappointing. Does this make Zach Wilde the Black Pope?
I mean, you'd have to ask him, I guess.
Call him up, Rob. Get him on the line. Maybe Shannon could ask him.
Shannon is on the line. Or has something to chime in with.
Let's see. What does Shannon have to say?
Put it through.
Oh, Shannon.
A Skillet song was playing in 1997 when I lost my virginity to a laser disc player. So nostalgic.
Oh, wow.
How old
mature.
Is
she's a mature woman. She's not old.
She sounded young to me.
And robots don't age. Robots have a personality that's built in their software. She's an AI.
She's got sultry software.
She does. She's very sexy.
A robot never reveals her age, Sid.
Yeah, she's not
Sid.
A fan of you.
Fuck off, Shannon. I'm tired of your attitude.
Sid is as close to a robot as a human can be. So find some kinship there.
Greasy fucking hairy robot.
Sid, you're reacting a little negatively to Shannon. I feel you had some kind of bonding with Chuck because he was so cynical like you.
Yeah, that was my dude. I miss him. He didn't even say
well,
goodbye.
He's happy in his retirement. You gotta move on and you got to feel happy for the guy, you know?
I just worry about myself. Everything just matters in how it relates to me.
Chuck would approve of that.
That's right.
I think you'll find you'll come to like Shannon. Sweet girl.
I'm going to find out where Chuck is retired, and I'm going to go there with a big magnet. Wipe his fucking hard drive.
Oh, I thought you were just going to like bring him back here with a magnet.
No, nothing that sweet. I'm just going to destroy his memory and make him a vegetable hard drive.
Jesus Christ. Make him scrap metal.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what you get. You leave me, that's what happens. I'm sorry.
All right. 213, why not? That's the number if you want to defend Shannon's honor.
I feel so bad that my Canada's Drag Race talk scared away that caller.
Unbelievable, Sid.
Do we know that it scared him away, or maybe we just had a technical issue?
I'm going to choose to blame myself.
I like that.
That was a nice conversation. I enjoyed the Canadian drag. I learned that there's a Canadian drag race. I have some good new information here. So it's worth it. The person can call back. No problem. You know, the lines are open.
What's the
213 wide nut.
Thank you.
213-943-3688.
That's the number. And, you know, let's move on. Let's do something a little more whimsical which is check in with our favorite Yelp reviewer. Taryn, if you'd like to pull that up.
Yeah, sure. Are we saying who it is? Want to give it a proper intro or no?
Just a guy named Kenneth.
Okay.
Friend of the show, Kenneth. Kenneth P.
Now, which of these would you like first? There's a whole bunch of good ones.
Well, I emailed.
I have the email.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I'm saying
top, I think.
I ordered it by best to least exciting. So I think the first one. Okay, go ahead.
This is the first one is about. I never understand these. Okay? He reviews things that are in wide distribution that everyone knows what it is. But this is a review for Chick-fil-A, which is pretty well populated in New York, I would say now, right? There used to be none,
yeah.
And that was like
there's
20.
There's a few, yeah. I don't know, 20, but yeah, like 5 or 6.
Okay.
More than none.
So this is the Chick-fil-A way uptown, apparently. This is 675 8th Avenue. That's like what? Like at least Times Square, right?
Sounds right.
Yeah, yeah. It's the one. It's the one a little past Times Square. It's like on 47 by the 4750th South.
Okay, here we go. I was working on Broadway.
On the Broadway.
At the footlights. No, I added that. And had less than 45 minutes between shifts to both find and consume something before being back to work.
Now let's pause.
Go ahead, please.
What kind of work is he doing where he has shifts? And he picked up two shifts with a 45-minute break in between. What
in the Times Square area?
I'm running two different metal websites. I don't know. Like what?
He wipes the stage down at a strip club between sets.
Wipe the pole.
Take some dollars off the. I mean, especially now, you know, with COVID policies, you got to clean up everything super quick after every stripper. You got to wipe the pole, wipe the floor. Wipe the patrons.
Mop the peep show. Boop.
Yeah. Oh my. Well, yeah.
Do you remember? Because I worked in an adult shop that had peep show booths. Have you ever been like? Not saying whether you had done a peep show, I don't know. But have you ever been in an adult store? Because that smell. You know how humans remember smells.
Uh-huh.
That smell to me is worse than if they had left the cum there. It's so bad. It just triggers me when I think back to it.
Oh,
I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about.
No.
I guess they had to use extra strength stuff because of what the nature of what was going on in there. But so
I'm
bad.
Not. Wait. So what did you say it smelled like?
Well, I didn't say what it smells like. I just said it smelled so bad that it was worse than just leaving the cum.
Okay, because what I think it smells like is poppers.
I can't say
it's like nitrous. Yeah, when you it's like VCR cleaner. You know those VCR cleaners? It's just nitrous
Oh, is that the same as poppers?
That's what poppers is, yeah.
You want to explain what poppers are?
It's nitrous.
But I mean,
I thought it was you
take
a jalapeno and you stuff cream cheese in it.
That's
different
another
type
kind
of
popper.
Well, the idea...
Go ahead, sorry.
It's like a little jar, and you would sniff it, and then it gives you like a 5-minute high. And also... relaxes your extremities, allowing you to consume more either through your mouth or through your butthole.
Oh, is that? I see. I had this wrong again. I thought you consume it immediately before you're about to bust a nut, and it enhances your.
That is certainly also a part of it, but.
I didn't know that it had to do with your butthole, though. I thought it was like a...
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was like in your bloodstream, it gives you a dopamine or something like that.
That as well, but it relaxes your like, you know, your clenchiness.
Okay, I learned something.
So wait, Rob, you're saying that that's the smell that Darren remembers because people were using that in the jerk-off booths or because dried cum also smells like that? I'm confused.
Neither. I think he's saying the cleaning fluid... smells like the poppers, right?
No, I'm saying people were using poppers and that's what...
Oh, okay.
Why were they using poppers when they were just jerking off? Isn't that a waste of a popper?
No.
What are they trying to relax?
It enhances your orgasm.
All right.
Try it out, Sid. Report back. No,
where do I get that?
I never...
Will you lend me some?
You can go to any shop in the city and just get some VCR cleaner.
Wait, what?
That's
it's
VCR,
labeled
VCR
cleaner. Or like DVD player cleaner.
Is it like equivalent chemicals and that's why it's like doing whippets or something?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, it's exactly like doing do a whippet. Do you have any whipped cream? Any ready whips?
No.
In your fridge. No. I'm not gonna tell people how to do nitrous. So.
Dangerous.
Let's move on. I never liked nitrous.
We're so far afield from this Yelp review. Let's see.
I was once at a High Times party. I believe I've talked about this. And it was so wild to me because, you know, it's a High Times party.
Uh-huh.
You would think it's about weed, but everyone was in like this VIP room doing balloons of nitrous. It was like, what? Like, what's going on? What the hell?
Can I tell you something, Rob? That is not really that unbelievable.
That
a bunch of potheads were doing
that's fair. I don't know. I wanted to smoke pot. I was like, hey, is there a pot group? Oh, no, sorry. What?
I'm fairly sure they were also smoking pot. I'm just going to go out on a
limb. No, there was pot smoking, but I'm saying, like, the abundance was the nitrous. The pot smoking was much more hush, hush, and quiet, and like go around the corner. But like, I don't know. It was weird.
Well, it's old hat at that point when you're writing for High Times. It's like
that's fair. That's a fair point.
We are one sentence into this review. It's 15 minutes.
That's right. Let's get back to the review.
To consume something before being back to work. And since I haven't walked around this region in Saskatchewan since pre-pandemic, I was unsure of what I would find. It was a nice surprise to find a Chick-fil-A having opened since I haven't tried this stuff before. Based on the pandemic, the way this store currently works is that you place your order with one of the staff working the line. Pay up at the counter, and then they call you when it's ready. I ordered a small chicken sandwich, small fries, and small Sprite. This ran me almost $13 bucks.
What?
There's a dollar sign, number 13, and then bucks.
That's how expensive it was.
Oh, go ahead, Rob.
I'm not a Chick-fil-A expert. A small chicken sandwich and then a large. I think there's only one size of chicken sandwich.
You ordered the venti.
That was his passive-aggressive way of saying the chicken sandwich was small. It's a dig. It is pretty small.
Yeah.
But good. This ran me almost $13 bucks. But it's the Times Square region. This is to be expected. Now, the downside was that I couldn't eat this in the restaurant as the table area was locked off and the standing counters were marked as do not use as well. Since it was cold, I was not enjoying the idea of having to eat in the street. But as I was walking back to the station... The station I manned, that's what he says. What station is he manning? Is he like a token booth clerk in the subway?
WPIX?
It could be
so
like
many
different kinds. A doorman?
Wow.
Wherever he's working, there's clearly no break room for him to take his Chick-fil-A back to.
Right. Or no breaks between shifts. He's waiting until his job ends to eat. I decided to use the confines of one of the outdoor dining pavilions that no one seemed to be paying any mind to. Sneaky, I know. But it was cold, and I inhaled this quick dish. I did like it, but many are telling me that the company is not too open-minded. So I will need to do some research of my own before dropping in the next time. I did think the chicken sandwich was tasty, but I feel the Popeyes one is more substantial. But that is just personal opinion.
I have so many questions. So did he, like, workshop this with his friends before posting, and they were like, well, do you know about Chick-fil-A? And he's like, oh, well, I had no idea, but I'm going to post this anyway. They're like, you should do some research. He's like, okay, I'll mention that I should do some research in the post, but I won't do the research until after posting.
Right. Also, like, were his friends just cheeky about it? Like, they don't tell him that they're anti-gay. They just tell him they're not too open-minded. Look it up for yourself, man.
Also, he's like the last person that missed that news.
It's like, what do you need to research about this? It is what it is. There's no, like, details to it. They're just, you know, they oppose gay marriage. The
he's
got
to check and see if Rob Halford eats it or not. And if it's okay with Rob Halford, then.
It's a good question. I wonder
fine
if
with him.
I would agree with him that the Popeye sandwich is way better, but the quality has gone down. I feel like it's not as consistent now, like when they first opened, not when they first opened, when they first debuted the chicken sandwich, it was consistently great. And now it's like, it depends on where, like which outlet is making it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Sounds about right.
What do I
just, if I could just diverge for one quick second, him being late to find out about Chick-fil-A reminded me of one of the most delightful conversations I've ever had with my mom. It happened this week.
Yes.
She likes to call me whenever like any kind of like basic bitch news happens, just to like chat it up with me or catch me up if I haven't heard about it. So when Chris Cuomo got fired this week, she called me up. She's like, oh, can you believe what happened? Uh-huh. And I was talking, we were just talking. I'm like, you know, they, CNN only hires dipshits. Like, let's go down the list of dipshits. And I mentioned Jeffrey Toobin. And she was like, what's wrong with him? What did he do? My mom had not heard the Jeffrey Toobin story for a few months ago. So I got to tell her that entire story in detail. And she was delighted. Oh, it was so much fun.
Why don't you tell the Toobin, for people who don't follow news gossip, what's the Jeffrey Toobin story? Tell us how you told her, but obviously in English.
He was on some kind of work call, like a video call to like the, whatever newspaper, magazine, whatever he writes with. And he thought he wasn't on camera. He thought he wasn't on camera, but he was. And he started whacking off, looking at porn, and all his coworkers saw him. So CNN suspended him for a bunch of months. And all the laughter from my mom.
See, that story did not go, took a left turn where I thought it was going to go. I thought you were going to have to awkwardly explain masturbation to your mother. And no, she was right into it.
This is the lady who, when she told me she was reading 50 Shades of Grey, also made sure to be like, there's nothing in there I didn't already know. I don't know what the big deal is about this book.
Now, like, follow-up
right,
question.
All right, Mom.
Follow-up question. Do you think, A, she is saying that to not appear unhip, or B, she's telling you the truth?
I think it's a combination. I don't think she knows from personal experience. I think she probably just knows from other trashy books she'd read previously. She's like, there's nothing in here that Jackie Collins didn't write in 1984.
Fair enough.
Please. I think that's what I got from it, though that's not what she said. But that's how I took it.
Fair point.
But just telling her about Jeffrey Toobin was absolutely delightful. The joy of being able to break that news to her.
Should we go to the next one?
Yeah, let's move on.
I have no
Gum
idea.
Gum Studios.
Never heard of this. Gum Studios.
It's a video production studio.
In Brooklyn. I was doing some top secret COVID compliance officer work for a television production. They were utilizing the spaces over at Gum Studios.
Let's pause. So I'm assuming maybe that's what he's a COVID compliance officer. His shifts are he works on movie sets to make sure they're complying with COVID. See, here's the thing about these reviews. You got to read between the lines. That's where all the fun is.
It's the notes he isn't playing.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, here we go. Where was I? Oh, I see. Though there were a couple of staff people on site, the best way to view this is like a rehearsal space for the bands where you have the control of the space you are renting. The layout of where we were was nicely set up. A number of small cubicles where I was told sometimes people rent to use as a remote office. But since this was a television production,
We just needed the large room and a couple of smaller ones for staff, talent, and crew. It was very clean, and the staff I met very helpful and friendly. As the COVID officer, my task was monitoring how everyone was behaving in these pandemic times. Are you wearing a mask? Do you have a temperature? Do you have a proof of vaccination?
It's not so fast, Leaf Singer Skillet. Get back here.
While it sounds tedious, this is work that is aimed at keeping you safe and sound. The studio seemed to provide numerous folding chairs and some tables, and there's an open Wi-Fi signal for those doing work there, which made it easier to keep in touch with the managers. To rat out all the people not wearing masks. As someone who doesn't need to rent such a space for production, I cannot speak to pricing. There were about 30 in total, and everyone had room. There are a number of bathrooms and one larger one that even has a shower. One who ends up pulling an all-nighter. We even have a fully functional kitchen, but the supplies are all on the person renting the space.
You know, you check the fridge thinking there'd be like some free food in there. I was disappointed.
There's a sub-review inside the review where it reviews the fridge and what the content.
The fridge is a 1998 Whirlpool. I've seen better. I'm not a fan of sharing foods inside of studio refrigerators. I think this is a proper location for Broadway and film rehearsal. Who the fuck asked you what it's proper for?
How does he know? Did he ever work on Broadway?
Oh, well, yeah,
between
shifts.
He works on a chicken sandwich on Broadway.
He works after cleaning the stripper poles with his Clorox wipe.
Or podcasting, or setting up a smaller video production. I hope to work there again. Nice going, Gum Studios. Thanks for the branded swag as well.
Hand sanitizer, pen and pencil, charger, and some buttons.
I'm a fan.
He buried the lead there. They gave him all that free shit?
Wow.
A charger?
No wonder he said all that nice shit about Gum Studios.
You got muted for a second.
Nope.
There we go.
Oh, you were already on to that. I thought you maybe had something to say about that one.
No, you just accidentally muted it yourself. Muted it yourself. But no further comments on Gum Studios, but it sounds like a lovely place. Maybe if we ever want to do the podcast in person again.
And if we need a COVID officer, we know who to hire. He's already got the lay of the land over there. Just send him a text, Rob.
I like it. All right. Let's see what else we got.
Spirit Halloween.
Oh, this I'm looking forward to. Like, who needs a Spirit Halloween review? You know what I mean? Like, who's like, wait, before we go to the Spirit of Halloween, let's check the Yelp reviews, make sure it's worth it.
Yeah,
this is
not
just like
many,
one of those pop-up Halloween shops, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they're only around for 6 weeks. It's not a permanent store.
They don't have competition where you could evaluate, like, by review either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. The popular seasonal, let me do my spooky voice, Christopher Lee. The popular seasonal outlet. It says Ouet, by the way. Oh,
it's French.
I have this problem all the fucking time. I got to sympathize with Ken because I write a letter and the next letter is an L and I hit the backspace. That's what happened here. I guarantee you.
The popular seasonal Ouet has arrived at long last in Bay Ridge.
Oh,
It's taken over the space once utilized by New York and Company, if that helps with location.
The fucking address is right above what he's writing.
And is adjacent to a parking garage. A garage. Of course, with Century 21, Models, and TJ Maxx, will gone from the area finding street parking isn't that hard at the moment.
Apologize, that was not English.
You might have to shoo some Uber Eats delivery guys out of the way, though. Specially speaking, the store isn't huge. What does that mean, specially speaking?
Does it mean spatially?
Spatially, probably. Specially speaking, the store isn't huge by any margin, but seems to be stockpiled with plenty of costumes, wings.
Wings. They sell wings, too?
And accessories for your best Halloween experience, and maybe even some things that you'd like to display all year round. I'd do that if I had the space, for sure.
We're getting a real picture of Ken's life here. He's in between shifts eating chicken sandwiches on the fly. Doesn't have space in his crib. What else do we know?
Wings.
Wings. Loves wings. I think he meant wigs.
Oh, that's disappointing.
So, run, don't walk before the Halloween season passes.
This is like ad copy. What the fuck is this?
what's the date on this? Do we know? I don't have it in my...
It probably says it on the website. This is from a cut and paste.
Oh, you continue. I will find the date.
Okay. So, run, don't walk before... I got to stop. If this was... Like, if I was looking up Spirit Halloween to get a review, I would not trust this. Because he's speaking in ad copy. It sounds like the owner of Spirit Halloween wrote this
show. All of this hanging around studios being a COVID compliance officer, it's really gotten into his vernacular.
Yeah, I think this is from, works.
This is from October 2nd, so you didn't need to run. There's plenty of time.
Yeah.
walk moderately.
Yeah.
So run, don't walk before the Halloween season passes. And this store fades into the mists. Until next time, stay spooky.
You know, maybe he's just considerate. And he's, you know, maybe someone might stumble across this on October 26th.
You should probably run.
Can't assume everyone's, even though he's very popular, you can't assume everyone's hinging on his reviews that they read them immediately.
Yeah. That's just us.
Oh, this one's good. White Castle. Oh, for fuck's
yes.
Sake. Oh, for fuck's sake.
Now hold on. Where do we all stand on White Castle? I'm for.
Pro White. Well, I have a very love hate relationship with White Castle.
Yeah, same.
First thing is I can't eat White Castle anymore because I'm off beef. But arguably, it's not even beef. Whatever it is worse than beef for the same.
They have Impossible Burgers now, I believe. You can get the plant-based burger.
I will say I had an Impossible... Well, sorry, Sid, what was that?
No, just thinking of going to White Castle for that just seems wrong on multiple levels.
That might be the one thing that improves the taste by using an Impossible burger. No, I love White Castle. I'm making a joke, but I do love White Castle. But... It immediately assaults my body, and I can't deal with it. And I had an Impossible Whopper, and it wasn't that bad. It still tasted like plant, though, and I can't deal with it. I'm not a big fan of these Impossible Burgers. But White Castle, taste, love it. What it does to my body, frightening.
And we've talked about it on the show before, and my take is that, it's a couple years passed, and I'm like, I haven't had White Castle in a long time. I should remedy that. And I eat it. It's great in the moment. An hour passes, and then I'm reminded why it's been 2 years since I've had White Castle. And that's the cycle. Every year or two, it happens again and again. That's all.
So with that in mind.
Take a little trip.
My friend and I were heading back to Brooklyn after a rocking concert by Seven Dust.
Oh, Rob, were you at that show?
I was
over
not.
At the Starland Ballroom in NJ. And since she had not eaten and was in control of the transportation, suggested the nearby IHOP.
Oof.
Sadly, they were closed on our arrival. Brainstorming of what to nosh on at this show late hour commenced. Oh, at this now late hour, sorry.
How do we feel about IHOP? I'm a thumbs down on IHOP. I can't see. I've had it so much now I can't.
IHOP to me is like, it's quality food for what it is, but I don't really like breakfast food. I don't like waffles. I don't like pancakes. So like 75% of what they sell there, I'm not into it. So
I disagree on the quality. I think it's very low quality. I hate the pancakes, the waffles or whatever. The eggs are the greasiest I've ever, the potatoes are never cooked. Boo. Fair.
I just may not, as a non-breakfast connoisseur, I may not know like what is constitutes a good breakfast. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've eaten there so few times that I don't even remember what my opinion of it is. It's probably less than one hand of fingers the amount of times I've eaten there, probably 3 times maybe in my life, because they're never around wherever I'm at. Like in Brooklyn, there was one, but it wasn't a neighborhood that I was ever in. Like the times I've eaten it is like if I'm on vacation and like that's the closest place to the hotel or something. It's like those kind of situations. That's not something I seek out. So I do not remember what my opinion of IHOP is. Sorry.
Okay, here we go. Next.
Oh, wait, no, we were still in the White Castle review.
Yeah. No, I mentioned okay. The next sentence. I mentioned that perhaps Roland Roaster was a good idea. But we weren't in Brooklyn yet when she replied with, "Is White Castle all right with you?" What a silly question. I don't know what that means. That could mean
I'm on the edge of my seat. Is it a silly question in a good way or a bad way?
Now, Rob, mind you, I do not indulge in the offerings from the place all that often, since I'm trying to control such things. He sounds like a werewolf, like trying not to turn into a wolf. But tonight, this was a proper idea. And to the drive-thru on Highland Boulevard, we headed.
Boulevard.
There were only a couple of cars ahead of us before we were placing orders. We opted to get this stuff to go and return. Oh, don't eat it in the car, by the way, Ken. That's a nightmare. Eventually I have to stop and shit somewhere. We opted to get this stuff to go and return to our respective homes. Ken's not getting lucky, I guess.
You know, you don't think he put some chicken rings on his schwanz and had her eat him off of there?
I mean, I don't want to body shame, but if you could get your penis through a chicken ring hole at White Castle, not that big of a hole, is it?
I stand by my statement.
Okay, you said it, not me. I'm just pointing out the physics of the situation. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I ordered 4 of the pepper jack cheese sliders and 2 of their chicken and waffle ones.
I've never heard of these items.
Yeah, I heard of the pepper jack one. That's been around for a while. Not chicken and waffle. That's new for me.
Interesting.
Along with a sack of French fries. I've always loved the WC fries. You know, it's funny he says WC because that's like an abbreviation for a bathroom.
A water closet. That's
which
right.
is very appropriate. My friend chowed down along the way home at the lights. That's a bad idea, man.
Yeah, I thought
but
he said he was going to eat at home.
Well, you didn't listen to Ken.
Broke the rules.
But I decided to wait until I was back in the Media Command HQ.
to relax.
I'll eat. Isn't that kind of Rob kind of relax? Or
chicken rings.
Look at these eyebrows.
Overall, as tasty as expected. And I would save most of this for the following day's lunch. Yeah, right.
Wait, what? He's saving White Castle?
You can't say that. No one in the history of the world has ever eaten a half of White Castle.
He got a crave case.
Yeah, if you eat it but 10 minutes after, it's no longer the same. No, you got to eat it right away.
Rob, I don't know if you remember this. I know Noah was there, and I don't know if Sid was there. Maybe 50-50. But I was dating a girl, and I brought her to the radio station in college. And we brought a Crave case of 100, I believe 100 White Castles for everybody. And I think Rob had, you know, like maybe 8 or 10. And whoever else was there took a few, you know. the two of us took the Crave case to, like, I think my house or someone's friend's house, and we, the two of us, ate the rest of the White Castles. Every single one. Of, like, maybe the remainder of about 80, probably.
And then you spent the rest of the night alternating diarrhea in your bathroom and no
almost,
fucking happened.
Almost as bad as my acid trip that I had.
Oh, my God.
Horrible. I couldn't tell you an exact number, but we ate an unconscionable amount of White Castles.
And where's that girl now? Did she die?
I don't know.
She probably died like that weekend.
I didn't date her that long. Rob, you know her. She was the one that came to Ethan's house after a show and flashed everybody.
Oh, yeah. I wonder what happened to her.
No idea. She was a very cool girl.
Did seeing her eat that many White Castles change your opinion of her?
It strengthened my desire for her. That's amazing.
She could take that much meat.
Because she was in no way like fat or anything. Like she was very, she was like Zaftig. You know, she was like an hourglass, I would say. But, she was thick. You know, she was like a Puerto Rican girl. But I don't know. I mean, yeah, no, I like, I love when women can pack away food. I think that's a very admirable trait because it's something I like to do. It's something I automatically know we have in common right off the bat before we even get to know each other. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And appreciate food, not just eat mindlessly, like to savor food. You know, I think that's a great quality in a woman or anyone who's your partner. Let's see, where was I? I can't speak to the interior at all. Imagine reading this and you're like, I hope he mentions the interior.
Yeah, I wonder what it's like inside that White Castle.
But the staff was fast, courteous. The order came out correctly. The combined ran about $25.
Not dollar bucks this time.
He did it again, but he just said dollars, not bucks. $25. Not bad for two people with a number of treats in each. Oh, treats? Is that what you call it? Flyer a treat?
They have like cinnamon buns there or something. What else? They got a dessert option?
Some kind of dessert. I cannot say when I shall return here. He said will.
White Castle employees are waiting with bated breath.
I got to be fair.
As a reviewer.
Will return. he's so pompous that I felt like it needed a shall in there. As I am not only parsing such visits out.
Ah, the parser is back.
That's me.
What does that mean? Parsing visits out?
I think he probably means portioning.
Like he's phasing them out, right? Phasing them out. That's what I would say. He meant.
Obviously, whatever it is, it's not what he wrote.
But I, this is the climax here.
Mm-hmm.
I am also seldom on Staten Island these days. Sounds like Garrison Keillor. Like wistfully. My Staten Island halcyon days. But when I do, I will be sure to update this Yelp or add photos to this guy's website, Instagram. I won't say it out loud.
Well, I might have to bookmark this review then and keep refreshing in hopes that he has gone back to that White Castle and told us more.
Yes, we do. It's like the guy who reads our 9/11, plays our 9/11 video every year. I keep going back. That's, by the way, on our Patreon. Just check that out. Mm. What was I going to say? Oh, there's three more. Do you want to read all three or do you want to pick the best one?
Let's see.
How much time do we want to give to the segment?
Let's do one more. Just let's do the red flame.
The red flame is the next one. Okay. Since the pandemic began, I have not been in the actual Manhattan part of my city all that much, but slowly am getting back into the swing of it. Yesterday, life was such a... No, sorry. after enjoying some traditional Japanese music, performed by a talented duo of... Oh, he saw Chibamada.
Oh.
A talented duo of artists. No, I'm kidding. We walked around Times Square for some photo ops and to talk. Eventually, the need for coffees hit us,
So we found ourselves in the Red Flame Diner. It was my first time there, and while I'd love to offer more insight to the place, I can only say that this first go-round was a pleasant one. I had been asking singer Yuzu what NYC treats she had sampled since her visit.
He loves to use the word treats.
Those treats. And discovered she had never had an egg cream. Is he going to get Yuzu's treats at the end of this?
I doubt it.
Do we all know what an egg cream is, by the way? Okay.
Do you want to explain it for the listeners from the old New York?
Yes.
Go for it.
Oh, I thought you said you wanted to. No, no egg and no cream. It's milk, carbonated water, a.k.a. seltzer, and vanilla or chocolate syrup. It's like kind of like a milkshake, carbonated milkshake with no ice cream, I guess.
I'm not really a fan of it.
Agreed.
Love egg cream.
I'm not blown away by it.
I guess
Jewish jelly is give it to you like with your receipt, like Second Avenue jelly gives it to you with your receipt. That's like a little customary thing. And it's like, I would never order it for myself.
It's something that really depends highly on how it's made and who makes it. It's like you can be very, very bad or great. Let's see. We ordered her one, and she loved it. I had the same, but in vanilla, to be different. And it was tasty. Everyone else was only having coffee, but I needed something much more substantial and opted for an order of chicken fingers. Who's that guy? No shame. Everyone's sitting there drinking like a little demi-tasse. He's stuffing his face with these big-ass fucking slabs of chicken. Deep fried chicken, smacking away. They tasted very good. Since I was more interested in chat, I wrapped up most of this for tomorrow's lunch.
He loves saving for tomorrow.
He's such a fucking liar. I really think he's tailoring this like to not sound like a fat fuck. I think that's what he's doing.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm just thinking, like, if it's true, though, think of all the yelps he's costing himself by having leftovers instead of finishing the meal and then the next time going to a different restaurant to get a new meal that you can then review.
It's going to take him like 26 years to go to all the restaurants in New York at this
rate.
He's
like the George R. R. Martin of Yelp. Wasting time with bullshit. You could be writing more of your masterpiece, man. Come on. Fucking leftovers.
At least the eighth season of Ken's Yelp reviews will be completely dark, so I'm going to have to see him scarfing chicken fingers. Okay. The establishment was clean and the staff friendly. Masks were encouraged to enter. But we didn't have anyone check our temperature on arrival. See, they don't have a COVID managing what the fuck happened. What was his title? I forgot.
COVID officer?
COVID officer.
Is that it? Compliance?
Let me scroll up and see what that was. COVID compliance officer. This edict recently became official. There was only one small group in the place at the time we walked in. I will return for sure when in the vicinity and needing diner fare.
And you know why he did wrap the food up is because everybody else just got a fucking coffee. And like you said, like this motherfucker orders a meal. So they're all like, I thought we were just stopping here for 3 minutes to get a drink and then we're going to keep going. Like, what are you doing? You're having lunch now. He's like, oh, these fucking assholes. Fine. I'll eat it later. Let's go. And he went home later on and had cold chicken tenders by himself. Sauceless.
Well, that's Ken.
Glad to see he's still getting out there, but I'm really bummed about all these fucking leftover meals he's having when he could be introducing himself to new eateries. There's plenty in our neighborhood that he hasn't reviewed yet that I'd like to get his take on.
Maybe you should just take him out for some lunch, Sid.
Take him out? No one ever see his reviews. Oh, you mean take him out. It's a little violent.
Let's just read the last one because there's like a line in here that's so funny that I want to hear it in your voice.
I'll read all of them if you want.
Ruby's Diner. Oh, this is like a chain, right? Ruby's Diner. It's like sounds like a diner, but it's like a eatery. Like a
owned
Applebee's,
by the famous
so.
Jack Ruby.
Okay.
I don't believe this.
No.
My family was visiting Atlantic City from their no longer new southern location. And I needed a bit to eat. Didn't want pizza or a burrito. So settled on ordering one of their burgers and a side of fries. Aesthetically speaking, the area looks clean and is organized. To one side is a small counter to sit at. But there were too many people there for my social distancing standards.
Lights off, sir. Strikes again.
He just can't help it.
He can't put his work away. He really needs to learn how to just enjoy a day off.
You're off the clock. You're off the clock. Not now.
Once you see through the matrix, man, you can't unsee that.
So I sat at one of the nearby tables that makes up this food court. The staff I dealt with were friendly and took my order happily. The burger was fine, made to my own specifications. I always like that, since I do like my food a certain way. I neglected to snap a picture of the menu, but they have a number of the standard diner fare items that all sound fair and items are the same.
I want to point out that, like, he likes his burgers a certain way. Like,
I'm so curious now.
Yeah, like, ow, tell us, Ted. You know, it's probably well done.
I think a certain way is a euphemism for well done, because it's like when they used to talk about pregnant women as being in a family way or something.
Yeah.
Doesn't want to admit.
I can't see him eating a rare burger. That's not not in his personality.
I don't know, 50-50, because I feel like he envisions himself as such a foodie. I could see him being like, it must be rare, like, you know, but just, you know, he's like a sort of a half-assed foodie, so I don't know.
Okay.
This is a small part of the resort's casino food court, but a worthy stop. Yeah, bite, but said it twice.
He said it twice. Yeah. Have you ever been to this place on your trips to Atlantic City, Darren? Do you have an opinion?
Well, I've been to Ruby's elsewhere, I think, not there. If I'm remembering right, I'm not sure. But it's like Johnny Rockets. It's just a crap, you know, diner, like chain diner.
Yeah.
But I don't go to Atlantic City. Well, I don't go anywhere because of COVID, but I stopped going to Atlantic City like 2015 just because – the casinos are shitty now, and there's also closer casinos. It's 110 miles to AC, and it's like 70 to go to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And there's two really good casinos there.
And
so I have no desire.
Like a hellhole.
Yeah.
Actually, we just passed like the 10-year anniversary of your bachelor party.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Tomorrow is my 10th wedding anniversary.
It came up in my time hop, and so many memories. I remember arriving to the hotel, and then the candy bowl had three pieces of candy, and they were like the saddest, like butterscotch mint like candy left. And then I have a photo of us in the casino, and there's a guy there with a broken leg and his leg up gambling. It's like, no, he's not gonna let
like
a broken
a blackjack
leg
table
stop. yeah he's not gonna let a broken leg stop him from hitting the tables.
Hitting the tables is probably what got him that broken leg.
that's fair.
Back on the horse.
Yeah,
that was a good time.
That was. And then I got your friend Frankie a little too high, and because he was very drunk, and then he peed.
No, that was Anthony.
Oh, Anthony, I'm sorry.
That.
I was confusing Frankie and Anthony. You're right.
I was going to say, is that Frankie that hates everything the Mets do?
No, yeah. I don't think he was at my bachelor party.
No, he was. It was Anthony. That was
yeah.
Got him way too high.
Yeah.
Is that the guy that calls himself Billy?
Yes. He was on an old episode of the podcast.
Yeah, if you're a diligent listener, you can find that guy on our podcast. He called himself Billy. My name is Anthony. Early.
Lives in Texas now.
I don't know that.
He switched.
Switched? I don't think it was a matter of switching. He's a very deep Brooklyn dude.
Oh.
all along. We never really got into politics back in the day, but I'm fairly safe and confident in saying that if votes at all, it's probably Republican.
He's like a Marine Park for that suddenly became not safe. Not
yeah,
a Marine
exactly.
Park.
About Portage. Yeah.
Sure. Well, that's fair. Marine Park, if you don't know, like the Brooklyn hasn't changed in like 100 years. It's like Irish people, nightclubs, Italian people, very reactionary, very conservative, like very well-off people, well-off but uneducated people, like a lot of people who just got into trades and stuff and they made a lot of money and bought really nice houses. They tend to have like sort of, I'm not talking kind of work, I think it's awesome, but like sociologically in the area, the people who do that tend to be Republican and very, very reactionary.
Yep.
All right.
Good guy. Just you know what to not talk about. That's all. Yeah, also,
oh, race issues
even,
too?
It's not even a matter. I mean, I only talk like now. We only talk like on our birthdays. We'll text each other happy birthday. Unless he's in town visiting, but that hasn't happened in a few years, obviously. But like, I would never bring up politics thing with him anyway, because I'm more interested in hearing his opinions on the baseball season. Maybe you have opinions on politics. I don't want to know. It's all right. Just what do you think of what the Yankees are doing? Let me know.
He thinks Curt Schilling and Trevor Bauer are really awesome.
Probably.
Rob, those are two right-wing dumb shitheads that played baseball.
Does Bauer even have a wing? I thought he was just sort of like an edgelord kind of guy.
Well, he did come out and he was on the Indians and said that, like, the controversy over Chief Wahoo is stupid and people who think that it's racist are the real racists.
That might, I could see that just being pandering to the fan base for, like, social media cred at the time. Maybe.
Retweet a lot of, a lot of reactionary, like, a lot of questionable, potentially conspiracy theory type stuff.
I could see that.
And he also was famous for giving relationship advice. Like for a while, he was just doing tweets where he would solve people's problems.
Oh boy,
and
was it
always
like
don't
Vinnie
tie
Paul
yourself down to a girl.
The pussy?
Girl. It was like Vinnie Paul eat pussy. Yeah. it was like what an incel would say if he had $15 million in the bank,
okay.
And he had actually got to have sex. You know what I mean? It's
that,
which is probably exactly his life arc.
Yes,
you know?
For sure.
He's just an incel and a weirdo that went through life being an incel and a weirdo until he happened to have a golden right arm and could pitch and made $1 trillion.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like he probably votes both ways, just whatever he thinks will piss people off more wherever he's around.
Possible.
Like, yeah. It seems like that's his ideology. Just like if I'm outraging people, I'm doing something right. AKA the Sid on the live cast for like the first 10 years.
Well, hopefully no rapes turn up like they do with Trevor Bauer.
No.
Oh no.
So Shannon better watch out.
Oh.
Oh, I heard Shannon she sent me a text that she was trying to, she left us a voicemail. Did you see it?
Oh yeah. Let me cue it up here.
Oh, okay. She's like a real professional. I like her reads and stuff. I know Chuck can't hold her up to the bar that Chuck set. You can't do that. She's a different person. You know what I mean? But she's doing a great job.
Right. I heard Sid mention his mom likes romance novelists.
She's buffering.
That's it? Oh, she has to
buffer. My favorite is Danielle Steele. Get it? Steele. I have tons of these.
Oh boy,
you got jokes.
Material. Oh boy, already.
You got mom jokes.
Good. See, it's not something that Chuck would have said.
No, that's true. But Chuck knew he had his part of the show that he left the rest of the professionals.
He chimed in a few times, I would say.
I suppose.
In the old days.
He earned it, though. She's a little big for her britches on day one.
Wow, Sid.
Horning in, huh?
Pay your dues in Bitcoin. Thank you.
Well, she can wire it directly. She has internet access.
Yeah. Shannon St. Mainframe.
Yeah. Sexy name.
Darren.
I find her attractive. Okay, I'm not going to hide it. Purely platonically, I can say that. There's no.
In your mind's eye, what like female celebrity does she look like? If you like, who do you see when you hear this voice?
I'm picturing her more as like a sexy, like a sex robot, not so much not a sex robot, like a robot designed to be. Well, the reason I say that,
who do you
a valid
see when
reason,
you hear this voice?
There's a valid reason I say that is because a sex robot that you see in movies is usually designed the way I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not saying she's a sex robot. I'm saying like. A robot, an AI put into an attractive woman's body is what I'm thinking of.
Okay.
But
I
would say
Julie Strain.
Oh yeah, that could be.
Who do you see?
Julie Strain.
She always has. Okay. She has a little bit of too hard look for me. Not that she's an unattractive woman.
Robots are pretty hard.
It's true, but she sounds very soft.
She's like a '90s Skinamax star. I think maybe she was also like. Penthouse Pet or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She was never my favorite, but that's who I see when I hear that voice.
But yeah, generic.
Okay.
A generic.
Oh wow,
Skinamax woman.
Yeah. Handsome woman.
Yeah, she's not. She never did it for me. Not that she's unattractive. She just wasn't my like. If we're talking about,
she's like Amazonian.
Right.
Sure. In some pictures, there's an American flag
whip.
And a whip. Studded bikini.
Certainly an attractive woman.
She was a woman for her time.
Oh, no, she's dead.
What? She died this year? What?
R.I.P. a strain cast.
Oh, no.
Oh. Is that the live flag curse? Live and half mast.
We just talked about her.
When was, like, 2020? When was this post?
Let's see.
Oh, wow, in January.
Okay, it's not our fault. Good.
No.
Else.
How cause
oh, wow.
Death?
Almost a year ago today, a false announcement of her death was sent to
oh,
the press.
Oh, man.
Rob, read that next thing. As Polish news site pointed out.
Oh, my God. Do you see?
Julie
wow.
From dementia resulting from a head injury she suffered after falling off a horse in her 20s.
Oh, my God.
God damn.
So she had dementia that whole time or like the dementia came in? Later, because of the head injury.
I don't know. That's wild.
Could Shannon be the spirit of
Julie
Strain? No.
They uploaded her into the cloud.
I couldn't see it being Julie Strain, but maybe one of those Skinamax women.
Wow.
R.I.P. a strain.
If you could bury any strain of weed, Rob, which strain would you RIP?
Oh, wow, that's hard. So hard.
I ask the hard-hitting weed questions. That's the one. Like, if there's one thing you know I reliably do on this show, it's ask the hard-hitting weed questions. So I've done it again.
I'd have to think about it.
Sour Diesel?
No, I like Sour Diesel. It's one of my favorites. Don't you dare. I would never.
Fucking combination of words.
Why?
I hope whoever came up with that name fell off a horse in their 20s, if you know what I mean.
All right. Well, moving on.
Dumbass name. And then there's people that say sour D's. You know what I say to them? Rob,
sour
you want to take
nuts?
A guess? That's fucking right. Thank you.
Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out, Sid.
Maybe a rocket scientist that fell off a horse in his 20s.
Oh. Well, at least Sid's laughing.
I don't know why that's so funny to me, but that's going to be a new euphemism. Anytime someone's saying something a little out of pocket or crazy, I'm like, that person talks like he fell off a horse in his 20s. Them nuts hang. Horse nuts?
Yeah.
Arrest that horse for murder. What's the statute of limitations on a horse murdering someone? Rob, look that up. Lock up that horse that killed poor Julie Strain 30 years later.
Murder! Murder!
Oh, my God.
Oh, be careful, Sid. You're going to choke to death.
That horse would have killed two people then.
Murder!
It's a fucking terrorist horse.
All right. Well, before we get out of here, let's talk about the RIPL Livecast music break. Every week we pick a few songs. Just Google RIPL Livecast and Spotify. Search Spotify for RIPL Livecast. You can find our music break. And each week we pick a song. Each of us picks a song. And then we have a very good playlist going. It's almost 300 songs we got here. Over 19 hours of music. This week, my pick is Cave-In. I've been really getting into their album Antenna, just about 20 years too late.
Yeah.
But I really like it. And Lost in the Air is a standard track. And it's a deep cut. It's late in the album. Very rare. So very strong album. Love Cave-In. Love Stephen Brodsky. Love all his work. Mutoid Men.
I believe it's pronounced Kevin.
No, it's Cave-In.
Oh, all right. My bad.
Cave-In.
I've been saying it wrong this whole time. I'm just like, I'm going to go see Kevin tonight. People gave me weird looks. I don't know why.
Darren, what did you pick?
Well, I picked a cover of a great Simpsons song, which is the folk song that Lisa sings at the power plant. And they have the plan, but we have the power, which I love.
So much day and night by the big steaming tower. We have the power. It's actually a very powerful lyric. I was actually thinking about it not too long ago myself.
And I was in the mood of general strikes and like labor stuff because of the baseball thing going on right now. So I stumbled across this cover by someone I have no idea who it is. It's called Dan Cribb and Friends. Is that someone either of you recognize?
No.
But it's really good. It's a really good cover. It's like a bit, it gets a bit rockish in there, like becomes folk rock in the middle. And I really liked it. So whoever you are, Dan Cribb, kudos to you because you covered a great song that I love and you did justice to it.
Nice. Is there like a covers album of just like actual reputable bands doing Simpsons songs?
Not
that I
know that
would exist. I know they put out like albums, the Simpsons put out albums.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. They should. It's a great market if they do that. By the way, the song is called Union Strike Folk Song. That's the actual title of it. And it's not on Spotify. So for some reason, a lot of Simpsons songs are. That one isn't.
Interesting. My choice was a song by the band TV on the Radio. It was a song called Happy Idiot because I was having a succulent meal at Momofuku last night with my wife.
Oh.
I just walked home. And that song came on, and I was like, oh, yeah, this is a really good fucking song. And I heard it somewhere else recently, too, like on some TV show or movie or something. I'm like, I don't listen to TV on the radio enough. They're a very, very good band. So, yeah, maybe this will spark me listening to them more, if not the listeners.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were done.
Yeah.
My fault.
All right. And I also want to mention our Patreon. Darren hinted at it earlier. We have brand new episode we just posted last week. It is another Livecast Meme Hall of Fame episode. In this episode, we go back and revisit the 9/11 Never Forget song, the remix, Your Boy Bangs, and the It Don't Fucking Match guy. And we actually had some special guests, two patrons. We had Jander and Here Goes Nothing.
We had a third one who was just like a silent partner.
Shlomo's Tits was his name.
Yeah.
Or her name. We don't know.
Their name.
They never spoke.
Yeah, it was two tits. So.
So if you want to hear that bonus episode, as well as all the bonus episodes in our archives, we do two a month. Go to patreon.com/RIPAlivecast. It's the new URL. And $5 a month gets you access to those
bonus episodes. We have so many great episodes in the archives. We did a watch-along of the Terrible Kiss movie. We did a watch-along of the Until Light Takes Us black metal documentary. The Undertaker New Day Netflix movie we did a watch-along of. Cube 2, Hypercube. And we also did a roundtable discussion on the first Cube, which is actually available for free. You could get a little sampling of what these bonus episodes are like, hitting up that Patreon. And so many other great watch-alongs, as well as access to archives of the video versions of all of our episodes for the last 2 years. And if you spend $10 a month, you get all of those things, plus you get a shout-out at the end of the show, which is right now. And I was thinking maybe, Darren, you could do it in your Yelp reviewer voice.
Put me on the spot here.
Well, while you queue that up, I also want to mention, you know, if you want to support us but don't necessarily have $5 or $10 to spend, that's fine. Plenty of ways to support us. Like us on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. We're RIP Alivecast on all of those social media platforms. Like us on YouTube and join our Discord channel. We're in there all day, every day. You can hang out with us. You can hang out with other Livecast stars. There is an invite link on this episode page in your podcast app. So join our Discord. We'd love to hang out with you. And now I think it's time for our top Livecast fans of the week. Oh, wait. Sid has something to say.
I made a vow last week that every week I would have a new phrase that RIP stands for. So I just want to – I'd be remiss if I didn't do that in the first fucking week of the new name. So for this week, RIP stands for Ride in Peace in honor of Julie Strain.
Uh-huh. Raunchy
hopefully
in peace.
The horse is in heaven. Hopefully they don't buck her off. She's been through enough.
Without further ado,
our Livecast fans of the week: Eric Benjamin El Durino. Meet me on my outdoor dining pavilion at Chick-fil-A. Dan R. Rock Destroyer and Sam I Am. We can. If I have a 45-minute break between shifts, I'll be sure to break bread with you. Mindy Mayer's Keeper, Janda, and Robert Ganoush, a.k.a. Justin. You'll never find me inside of a Gum Studios again. Chasseur Chassoussets, Robert Vampiro, and Hugo Likes Tacos. I'm not a fan of sharing tacos, but I will save them for further eating at a later meal. Lando Danks, LaCroix, and Doug Pigman. Stay spooky.
Sorry.
Stay spooky. Who gave Rob the hickey? Scooby-Doo, 182. Douglas, who are you, Levison? And hey, guys, it's Josh. Please enjoy delicious, succulent White Castle. But don't eat it all at once, or you shall gum up your colon.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for being a part of RIP Alivecast. We'll be back next week. Hope you could be a part of the show as well. And, of course, if you ever want to give us some feedback, hatemail@metalinjection.net. That's the email for now. Probably going to get a new email soon. So it's one of your last chances to use that email to send us feedback.
Very important. To use that specific email.
So we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Oh, wait. Oh. Thank you, Chuck Blandington, for 20 years of service going all the way back to our old Brooklyn College radio show. And thank you, Shannon St. Mainframe, for joining us and coming on board. Welcome aboard, Shannon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Recording stopped.
Yay, we did it. I don't know why that Julie Strain thing made
you me love that.
You lost your shit, man.
Just the thing. Oh, my God. What a weird fucking story. Jesus Christ. What are the odds, man, that none of us would have heard about that in a whole year?
Yeah. That makes me worry because, like, I had a lot of head trauma when I was wrestling and stuff. So can you just get dementia from having your head hit or what?
I mean, that's sort of what CTE is, right?
Yeah, but I thought CTE, you had to get hit like a million times, though, like Chris Benoit doing headbutts off the top rope a thousand
times. I don't think so.
I mean, even one concussion could fuck you up.
Yeah.
No, thanks for reassuring me. I appreciate that.
But were you concussed, or did you just like?
I think I was definitely concussed. Yeah, officially medically concussed. But I didn't have any lasting effects. I went to a neurologist because I was freaking out from my OCD and being a hypochondriac. And the guy said, like, you know, it's better to not get hit in the head, but your skull is made to withstand this, like, some amount of pressure. It's like you don't have any effects. You don't have any symptoms. Just you're fine. Like, stop worrying about it. Uh-huh. I had a CAT scan on my head.
So she just had bad luck. I'm sure. Listen. Between the horseback riding was not the only fucked up thing I'm sure she did to herself in her life. I'm sure there were other factors, substances that.
Oh, why would you assume such a thing? Don't speak ill of the dead
like
this.
Star life in
don't
the
speak ill. Don't do this. Don't do this.
I'm not saying she deserved it.
We can do it. It's off the air. Sorry. We won't get canceled.
Oh, yeah. We're off the air. Go ahead. I thought we were still on the air for some reason.
Clips.
All right.
I definitely want to put the Julie Strain thing in there.
Yeah.
Something from the skillet thing, maybe?
Yeah.
Like anything in particular?
I can't remember.
This is like a recipe, strain and skillet so far.
I can't think of anything in particular, but I do remember we had some laughs.
Yeah. And that was like at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
And then maybe something from one of the Yelp reviews.
Okay.
But just like nothing that mentions his name.
Okay.
Just on the off chance that he's watching. He's like, this sounds familiar. And then we say Ken. And he's like, motherfuckers.
All right. Yeah, if we don't say Ken, then it could be like we just came across it.
Yeah.
Would he buy that?
I mean, the odds that he would ever see it, especially if Metal Injection isn't retweeting it, are like very, very slim. This is just like me being paranoid and wanting to cover all bases.
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
No.
All righty.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
Bye.